I'm rolling right now. It's just recording, by the way. So.
It's pretty much four episodes just so RZA can lay the blame on his brother. Wow. like it wasn't me, guys. It wasn't me.
I'm in episode four. Also, I like where he's like, I was disallowed to talk to anybody until now.
And I thought maybe for my first time talking, I should be on the back of a boat because that makes me look like a normal
RZA's beating
who didn't rob anyone.
Nuts says straight up street like sitting on a boat.
RZA is now at war with GZA?
Well, RZA was definitely always the brains. We all know that already.
Welcome back to White People Talking Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah. The pod we all needed.
But it turns out that so RZA was the brains. So RZA was also scamming. We all know RZA was scamming. We all know he was.
I would just assume as much.
Exactly.
Wait, who was scamming?
RZA. RZA was scamming from everybody. Like RZA was making all the money. Like,
no, but yeah, but he was also.
Do you think Inspector Deck has a nice house? Yeah. He doesn't.
He was also had the management company and he was producing.
Yeah, I mean, he came up with the whole concept. I'm not against RZA for doing this.
Yeah.
I just think it's an amazing move. I mean, RZA's still the brains. RZA created a 4-part documentary to say, you know what, guys?
It wasn't me.
I'm not to blame.
It wasn't me.
I didn't see my brother is such an asshole.
It's like that documentary on Netflix about like American meme, and it's about social media. And you're like Paris Hilton's one of the producers, and you're like, no wonder she doesn't look terrible.
Yeah,
great. Oh, I'm sorry. Are we rolling?
Smart move.
Well, no, but I'm just. No one said anything horrible, so it's fine. We're rolling.
Oh yeah.
It's a minute
anything
in, but that's
horrible.
Just you said you wanted to capture the magic.
Oh, the
You're
magic.
Like, yeah. I want it rolling, so we got half of Yancey talking RZA, which is hilarious.
That's hilarious.
That is, you know, it's so funny. I've just been going through their old catalog again. Like, I'm just now playing Iron Man.
Oh yeah.
I mean, God, his streak was incredible. The first 10-ish albums RZA produced.
Oh, they're amazing.
You're right. He should do all the themes he wants.
It's also like, I mean, I could talk about it forever. Just like growing up in New York in that time, that was like such. You know, it's like when those bands people had in college that you're like, oh, I love the Pixies because that was my band. Or like, I love They Might Be Giants and no one understands why. And I'm like, well, because I've seen them 14 times. And that was like, you know, the one time you heard the album while you're hanging out with a girl for the first time in like, you know, someone's house or whatever. And you're like, okay. I mean, it could have been, you know, El DeBarge.
So wait,
was like
this,
my go-to band.
You were living on Staten, and so someone repping Shaolin meant that much to you?
No, growing up in New York. It's,
yeah.
As a white kid who also liked kung fu movies on WPIX.
Okay, cool. Oh, so the kung fu stuff wasn't just they went to a movie house, it was literally on to some local
network. Like in
network.
New York, Saturday afternoon was like kung fu theater or whatever on Fox 5 or WPIX.
Okay,
11.
Gotcha, yeah. Our Fox 5 aired Coal Miner's Daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Great film.
It's true.
So the classics.
Yeah. That's funny, though. I know the honky bands of your era in New York. You had Typo Negative, White Zombie. I'm trying to think of other Prong. I'm trying to think of the New York metal acts at that time. Those are the three off the top of my head.
That's the next episode. We're going to focus on white metal acts.
White metal acts, yeah.
So do you...
Which was whitest?
Well, so can I just welcome ourselves to Papa's Basement?
Yeah. Just do an intro, man. I don't care. Everyone, it's Papa's Basement, but Brian's going to do all the heavy lifting. It's the way I like my sex.
So welcome to my house and Papa's Basement. John Papa Giorgio, a name so beautiful, could... launch a ravioli empire,
yes,
as they say. Lets me book people. So why don't we go around and everyone introduce themselves. To my right.
Hello, I'm Busy Fane.
Busy's been on the show before.
She has.
Busy, were you one or two episodes thus far?
Just this would be my second.
Okay, we fell in love with your voice.
Oh, thanks, guys.
And Brian, you've used her as vocal talent and things in projects.
She did some beautiful ADR in Puppets in Paradise,
yeah,
coming to a Vimeo screen near you. So you would know Busy from stand-up. Also, she's in a, I would say, long-running improv troupe.
Yeah,
what's the name of your troupe? Tell
the
people.
Oh, That Baby. You can find us on
Instagram.
I like
how you just said stand-up as if it's the most unified thing ever. Like, you would know Angelina Jolie from movie.
Oh, John Papa Giorgio. And to my left, making his first appearance on Papa's Basement,
I am Yancey William Burns, Esquire, the pride of Coon Creek, West Virginia, and 6th Street Northeast.
Yeah, Yancey did some stand-up with all of us. In fact, all four of us did stand-up over at Sean Westfall's. If you've listened to the show before, you've heard Sean Westfall a bunch of times, and we all did some stand-up over at his joint. Yancey was, everyone here was very good at that stand-up, and just...
I had fun.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
I was exceptionally good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, do we just skip over the fact that he's an Esquire?
Right.
An Esquire. Oh,
yeah.
He's
a lawyer. I didn't just go to law school. I passed the bar.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Esquire.
Wait, okay, you can just have a Juris Doctorate, and that's then you're true. Not Esquire, right?
That's true.
So you're barred in D.C.
I'm barred in D.C. and West Virginia.
What?
Whoa.
So is that
the
what,
two major jurisdictions
is
in
that
the world.
What, is that what makes you Esquire?
Yeah, passing the bar is what makes me Esquire, because otherwise you're just a J.D. Now, and really, you're nothing.
Correct me if I'm wrong, did Bill and Ted not introduce themselves as Esquires?
Oh, Bill S. Preston Esquire.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Bill S. Preston had passed the bar.
Okay,
I'm
all right. Positive, cool.
Yeah. In California, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Because in California, you don't have to go to law school to take the bar.
The Wild Stallions Law Practice. Ask one on a rider. Yeah.
Don't you have to be sponsored to take the test?
Perhaps. I never really asked one on a rider, but I know she took the bar and passed it.
But when you passed the bar, the law firm where you were at put you up to take the test,
oh,
right?
Oh, no, but you have to go through, like, a character and fitness exam. It's,
oh.
It's a rigorous
which,
exam.
Oh, which
where they
firm
make you...
is sponsoring this episode of Papa's Law Pod?
This episode is brought to you by Medisky, Martin, and Wood.
Nice.
I love jazz firms. They're my favorite.
I went to... I remember I used to do... Before, when I lived in Philly, I used to shoot for the Philadelphia City Paper, and I would go to shows. I remember one time, I wasn't shooting, but I went by Electric Factory, and the bouncer was there, and I was like, what show is tonight? And
that's
he's like,
their famed venue, by the way.
Yeah,
right?
He was like, I don't know, some law firm.
On that note, John Schofield is to Medesky, Martin, and Wood what Redman is to Wu-Tang Clan.
A beloved friend.
Wow.
No, he can't actually be part of the group.
Oh.
Like, he gets to hang out, and, like, he tours with them, and, like, he's a part of the fun.
And maybe he'll
but
make
you're
a...
not, you're not in the Wu-Tang Clan, and you're not
I
in the Desky Martin Wood.
Maybe he'll make a terrible show with Method Man that runs on Fox for, like, three episodes.
I don't know how you... How High was such a great movie. I don't care if the show was bad. How High was a classic.
I forgot the show existed.
I did, too.
Yeah. I mean, I forget. Maybe suppressed. That's the verb I'm looking for.
Say.
So Brian organized, as Brian does, he loves a big, strong central spine to any episode. I like to get on mic and just, exactly, like, Busy was just shaking her shoulder at that, and that would be the episode. We just talk about Busy doing a shoulder move. I like to get on, do whatever. Brian likes to have a premise. Your premise today, Brian, is you wanted us to bring the musical comedy that we love.
I have asked our guests to bring two musical comedic songs to share so we can listen to them and talk about them. I mean, that's a thing, like, there is within the comedy community, people don't always respect a comedian with a guitar.
Oh man, as someone who does musical improvised comedy, yeah, it's so much harder. It's hard to write a song that's not funny. It's hard to be funny. You put the two together, it's double hard.
I mean, I would like to think
appreciate
I could be
heart.
Bo Berman.
Double hard, but like Red Man and Method Man.
I feel like you understand the mind of eighth graders. So yeah, perhaps you could be.
Also, we're like 6'6". We're both 6'6". I think I have got like 123 pounds on him, but the height thing.
You're saying you could defend the post?
Yeah, okay. In the paint, I'm a man.
You're an athlete. Now, you don't play for the school, but you're an athlete. You're definitely an athlete.
For those of you that weren't in the green room before the show took place... It's a whole thing. We're not going to
I can
get
definitely
back into
picture
it.
You in short shorts. Well, I don't have to stretch on that one. Brian is currently wearing shorts that in some cultures would be called panties, and then knee pads and a headband.
That's just what I wear because I don't have central air. I don't know how bougie you are in your neighborhood, but here in Eckington.
I have just a giant ceiling fan that dries out my eyes and my lungs, but it's worth it.
All window units all the time.
Really?
That's how we
do it. Oh, my God.
All right, we're starting things off hot with Yancey's pick. Who are we listening to?
We listen to Das Racist. We're listening to a classic. And it's a classic not because it's a comedy song. I mean, I think Das Racist gets, you know, like, shouldered with, like, being, like, funny rap or some shit like that. But it's not. It's a classic song. And I will say, I don't know that I'm a proponent of comedy music. But I'm a proponent of good music. And this is good music.
I would agree. All right, let's listen to a little bit.
We're at the Taco Bell. We're at the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Also, what I can recall of this song, we basically have a general sense.
Oh, we've listened to the entire. Yes, we've listened to the entire. This is the only lyrics. And that's cool.
We should probably pause and then just gather afterwards. There's so much to digest here.
Yeah, there's a lot going. I mean, I'll turn it down a little bit, but we can talk about it. Das Racist, I love. Do you know where they got their name?
From that little meme, the little kid.
The Wonder Shows, Wonder Shows in on MTV2, which is an amazing show. The funny thing is, speaking of people that just hang around, the third dude in the show is in the group is
Hari Kondabolu's brother.
Yeah, his brother, Ashok. Yeah. And Hari Kondabolu is so mad because Das Racist did Conan O'Brien before he did, and he was like straight up jealous that his brother got on Conan, and his brother really doesn't do anything except I think he yelled out Michael Jackson a couple times.
Which is reasonable. I mean, I think they exemplify like there was a time during the early aughts. I mean, this came out in like 2008, and there was a time during the early aughts when like Brooklyn was cool, and this exemplifies it for me. Like when I was like, man, Brooklyn is a pretty cool place if they're making shit like this, because this is so good. I mean, I got introduced to this because when I first moved to the Northeast back in 2007, I was talking to a buddy of mine from Jersey, and he was asking, like, you know, what's around your house? And I was saying, well, my favorite restaurant around the house is this combination KFC and Taco Bell on Bladensburg in New York. And so the next day he sends me this, and I'm like, I mean, every time my wife and I go there now, she looks at me and goes, I'm at the KFC. And I look at her and I go, I'm at the Taco Bell. And we look at each other and we go, we're at the combination KFC and Taco Bell. And it just brings joy to our lives.
All right, before we go to the next song, you guys have anything else to add?
No, I mean, that was very stripped down. That was lyrically bare, sir. It's just a lot to take in. I'm saying that semi-sarcastically, but also I'll be singing that for the next month. So,
that's it. I mean, would you rather be singing this for the next month or singing, I mean, like the comedy music I grew up with was like Piece of Shit Car. And I don't want that stuck in my head.
You've already bumped this for Piece of Shit Car in my head. So.
Good thing that wasn't someone else's pick. All right, as the guest, we're gonna go to Busy's first pick. All right, well, you have two. Do you want to do, which one do you want out of those two?
Pick each, man.
My songs were less songs and more funny.
This is funny. This one, I actually am jealous that you picked this one because it's real clever. All right, here we're gonna go with Straight Outta New Zealand.
New Zealand, yes.
Flight of the Conchords.
Flight of the Conchords.
I mean, considering that Game of Thrones just ended,
right?
I think that a racist dragon.
Was Drogon racist? Probably. Yeah.
He was. Whichever one was resuscitated was absolutely racist. That Night King was racist as shit. We all know.
His army is called the Whites.
Yeah.
A bunch of White Walkers. We know it's this is not so subtle subtext.
I saw little to no Asian American representation in that army. Very discriminatory policy for resurrection.
I listen to humorists from New Zealand. I think to myself, New Zealand must just be really nice if this is the humor you do. There's no hurt in New Zealand.
All of the villages,
it's rainbows and lollipops.
Look up their venomous snake selection. You'll change your tune fast.
It's all shires.
So cold and so scary.
I guess we can pop this down because I don't think we can play the whole dragon
tears. The whole story.
I mean, I'm glad that New Zealand now has an assault weapons ban. But I have to think that the comedy would have a harder edge if they just let people own a couple of SKSs and AKs.
It's funny because the things that New Zealand would do with those kinds of weapons would be pretty awesome, I think. I don't think they'd want to shoot people at all.
They don't have a great track record lately.
I know if they heard the new album by they might want to. Actually, you know, tell me what you guys think about this. I know this is I love talking to. I know. Let me clarify.
I'm just laughing that you have to have your hand between your legs because of those shorts.
Well, he has to keep his gum in.
Yeah. Like you're.
No, I was saying like the U.S. is objectively awesome.
Of course.
What did we create? Light bulbs, the airplane, internet,
Natterday.
Hip hop. Exactly. The only thing we didn't create was Sabado Gigante. You know what I'm saying? Yes. But I think that there, in the world of, you sort of like win big or lose big, you know, and the same with our healthcare system, it's like Saudis fly here to get heart surgery, but like if you're broke in the middle of nowhere, like good luck finding a dentist that'll cover you. I wonder like if comedy like hip hop is one of those things that comes from like loss strife. And pain and strife. Like hip hop is amazing, but like hip hop, like there's a reason why hip hop didn't come out of Denmark. Because, you know, they have access to dental care.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think comedy's like that? Like, why is there not more comedy out of, like, more well-adjusted Western countries?
100%. Stephen Colbert became funny because his brother and dad were killed in a plane crash, and he wanted to cheer his mom up.
So if you want to be funny, tamper with the propellers of a loved one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Amy and David Sedaris had crazy Greek parents.
I mean, oh, my gosh. Yeah, you need that. Yes.
Yeah.
That's why the greatest comedian of our time is Batman. The tragedy he endured as a child.
Wow, you've wow. I think people need to pause this podcast right now and really think about some life choices they've made.
Yeah, exactly. Like sending their parents to the good home.
That's you what know, Papa's Basement's about, evaluating your life choices.
Maybe the fact that I have a job is what's hurting my comedy.
Dude, you love your parents. They're alive.
I love
you
my
get
parents.
Along with your brothers.
They don't live far away. My brother's pretty cool. I have a cat that loves me.
I'm sorry. Like, if you want to get a laugh, funny. Cut off a toe right now.
All right. It's time for John Papagiorgio's selection.
Oh, look at us. Just blazing through.
Blazing through.
I can't wait to
wait
to fop this off on Brian because I'm not going to edit it. Shit.
This next act asked me to read this. Black Sabbath, Iron Maiden, and Molly Hatchet could not be here tonight. But they all had sex and are proud to announce the birth of their two-headed baby, Tenacious D.
Gene Haddad.
So Tenacious D.
This guy knows this.
Twitter friend of mine.
Janine Haddad. So she's like...
Her dad owned Haddads.
I was like, she's like half Appalachian, half Iraqi.
Haddads was like a fashion boutique in
on
the
lead
80s
vocal
in West Virginia,
is me,
which
JB.
Is a strange thing.
Obviously. It didn't make it out of the 80s?
Somehow it did not.
If you watch the video for this on YouTube, which you'll hopefully see a link to in the notes of this show,
there's a lot of possible.
This is pre-mustache.
Backstage Betty's.
Yeah, this is in the audience. The way I was introduced to this, I was a huge fan of Mr. Show coming up in high school. And they were friends, I guess, with Tenacious D, so at some point in season two or three, after some Mr. Show episodes, they would then cut to these little Tenacious D shorts. And I'm not the biggest musical comedy guy. I'm sorry, Busy.
It's all right. It's all right.
It's okay. It's, but as a youth, I remember hearing Tenacious D, and I would just sing this. We're listening to Double Team, by the way, by Tenacious D.
A huge shock that you select this song, by the way.
Yes. And I remember my friends and I would VHS tape this, not to date myself too badly, and we would just watch this over and over while getting high. And we would sing the lyrics back and forth to each other, because there's nothing, you know, like, better. There's nothing more masculine than that. Like, a bunch of high school guys that don't have girlfriends just singing Double Team to each other. Like, that's all.
Yeah, maybe no oil up and do a little backyard wrestling afterwards.
It's like, what is the one thing less heterosexual than a two guys, one girl threesome? We'll just take the girl out of the mix and then just have the guys singing the lyrics to each other. That's how I felt about this. I loved it, though. I was obsessed with Tenacious D. I remember when they broke, maybe like 4 or 5 years later or something like that. I was like, oh, there's the guys from the TV. And I didn't really know. I don't think anyone knew Jack Black as a singular entity when this came out.
He was in, I don't know if anyone remembers, the classic Mars Attacks.
Go on.
Remember, he was like 18. He was sent off on the bus to war. I love that movie.
I thought you were going to say he played Jim Brown. That would have been problematic.
He couldn't do that today.
No, not so much. Could you do Tropic Thunder today? Answer's no, but go on if you want to say otherwise.
That's a good question. That's a good question. Could you do Tropic Thunder today?
No.
Absolutely could not.
I mean, Florida State still marches out a white kid in red face every Saturday for football games. So
but that's tradition, Yancey. Have respect.
I don't know.
I mean we're living in a city where the football team is literally called the Redskins.
Mm-hmm. The Washington football team, yes.
Yeah.
Washington football.
So yeah, I think you'd get away with it.
I I rewatch The Office every so often, mm-hmm. and by that I mean weekly. There's a lot on The Office you couldn't do, and that was about 10 to 15 years ago for some of those episodes.
Sometimes I think about that stuff.
Michael's character. What if the tribe of the Israelites signed off on it, though? Like the Seminole Nation signs off on Red Face. Like, what if we went down to the Chinatown Metro and we got those guys and we said, you know what? We'll give you some money and we'll promote your culture. And they'd be like, yeah, make another Tropic Thunder.
And then the guy was like, actually, I'm Korean.
But well, yeah, that wouldn't help.
Thank you.
I think I'm racist because you were asking for permission in comedy and mentioned the Israelites. And I was like, I know where he's going here.
This is where I leave the room for a little bit. And come back in about five minutes. So obviously, for my first pick, Kate Micucci, Ricky Lindholm.
Pregnant women are smug.
Pregnant women are smug.
Everyone knows it. Nobody says it because they're pregnant. Effing son of a gun. You think you're so deep now. You give me the creeps now that you're pregnant. I can't count all the ways how you speak in cliches now.
So, do you want a boy or a girl?
Oh, it doesn't matter as long as it's healthy.
Really? Because I don't feel like those two things are related at all. It's not like one or the other.
No, as long as it's healthy.
I can't wait to hear someone say.
I think this is one of the, like, first viral songs that I watched on YouTube. I think it was, like, 2007 or 8, where it was just, like,
well, do we want to just talk Garfunkel and Oates a little bit, period? Maybe that's better in the song.
I think we should talk Garfunkel and Oates, period.
Yeah.
Yeah, once you get it started.
Oh, you know what? You're not going to back this man into a corner. I watched the, there's a season one of something on Netflix. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a show?
IFC, they had one season.
That's so sexist of you to not know that, Busy. Sorry. Let's dogpile on Busy and make fun of us for not being girl woke or whatever the term is. I don't know. Yeah, they had
I don't see gender.
Thank you.
Thank you, David Bowie.
Yeah. I don't know. I enjoyed them well enough.
I watched it and felt bad for Kate Micucci that she's never going to have a career in the future because of American standards of beauty. But you know what else?
You saw the episode where she puts on the blonde wig. It all works out for her.
Yeah.
I think the show is right now, it's tough because there are so many ways to watch things, Hulu and Netflix and blah, 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 that, like, sometimes things that are really good on IFC, they just don't have time to breathe. You know what I mean? Like, a show, you think way, way back, because some of us in this room are old, mm-hmm. a show like Cheers, like, which was the number one show, but it was, like, the first season, it did pretty terribly. Like, it was slow to build, but then people really fell in love with it.
And Seinfeld's a great example of that, too. I know what you're saying. Like, everything is so rapid fire now that...
Yeah.
I mean, Netflix craps out how many series a week at this point? Do you remember when it was a big deal that they put out, like, one original series?
Yeah.
You're like, Lilyhammer, what's this?
Just a side note, Netflix, I love everything that you put out. And
I can't keep up.
That was John talking before.
Yeah, no, it'd be a completely different thing if you hired me for something Netflix, which I've sent you notes many times, but whatever, whatevs. It used to be like every 2 months Netflix would drop something, then it became every month, and then it became, honest to God, what are we up to? Several a week, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people are out there, I don't want to use the word conspiring, but really the goal is to monetize your every minute in terms of your eyeballs are on something, something's mm-hmm. being streamed to you. And we're going to have Disney launching their own streaming service. HBO's putting out more originals than ever. Everyone wants to do its own original.
I'd like to hear what a lawyer has to say about this.
I think it's strange that Netflix hasn't picked up on the fact that people do, in fact, enjoy appointment TV. I mean, that's the real complaint I've heard of with Game of Thrones ending, is that will this be the last show that we all get together mm-hmm. and watch on a Sunday night? I mean, they tried with the Joel McHale show, but it was a terrible show, and so it didn't work.
Hulu does
actually
that
just
more.
showing it at a certain time, and Hulu does it to an extent. But it would work. I mean, I think people do like having the same thing to talk about on a Monday morning.
Water cooler chat.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we're not all in the gig economy working from a Starbucks on our laptop. Like, some people have coworkers in person.
Yep. And binging is fun, but I do think there's, like, something to be said about having to digest an episode over a week before getting to the next one. You miss, I mean, even in a stupid show like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, like, I miss all the jokes and stuff because I'm just rapid fire through it.
Mm-hmm. I actually wait and binge them. Like, I still have an episode and a half left of Game of Thrones because I like to be able to watch two in a row. Because sometimes they'll have like a slower one and then a big one and then a slow one and a big one. And so, but yeah, there is something really fun about having appointment TV, which, yeah, I don't know how people are going to work through that. It'll figure itself out.
Y'all remember SNCC?
No.
Yes, because I am afraid of the dark. And what else was there?
Well, Brian, you didn't grow up with a lot of TV, correct?
We didn't grow up with a lot of, yeah, we had a
grew up with kung fu movies. Someone wasn't listening.
Most of my life, we had a black and white TV in the closet that we would take out and connect to the antenna once a year to watch Sound of Music.
Aww.
And then I think we got a color TV when I was like 13.
Nice.
And then by the time I moved out of the house, I was like 15. This is a whole other long story. When we moved overseas, we had like a VHS player. Or I think people call it a VCR, mm-hmm. for like a year or two. And I just remember watching skate videos just anytime I could get access to the TV.
Awesome.
But yeah,
skate
I didn't
videos
have
and a copy of Flight of the Navigator.
Definitely did not have cable.
Yeah. Well, SNCC was a Friday night lineup of
a murderer's row of entertainment. Don't undersell it.
Is this on Nickelodeon?
Yeah. Saturday Night Nick. SNCC. Hence the portmanteau, sir.
Yeah.
What about you? Did you,
not a lot of cable in rural West Virginia.
I feel like every time I'm trying to guess at your childhood, I don't want to make terrible assumptions about West Virginia.
No, you can go ahead and make all the terrible assumptions you want. They're probably right. No, we grew up, we eventually had like, I got to like 12 and we got one of the giant satellite dishes.
Oh.
But it wasn't bringing us anything from America. Like, we got, the only channel I ever watched was the Canadian Music Video Channel.
Oh, Much Music.
It was wonderful.
Yes.
Oh, exactly.
Yes. Oh, I remember that because we had Much Music on my first job out of college. I worked at WNVT, which is a PBS member station in Falls Church, Virginia. And we would dial in the satellites to watch just the TV we wanted to watch while we're also putting on, like, you know, Sesame Street and Kratz Creatures. And
yeah.
And,
but it was very weird to live in America and think that the Tragically Hip were relevant.
Oh, I remember when, what was it, Gordon, what is it, you would know, who died of the brain tumor a couple of years ago, and I tried to listen to some of their cuts and I was just like, God, Canadian music is, I'm sorry, it's just not.
Oh, I mean, I saw this.
I mean,
is
it's
like
Nelly Furtado and then a big drop off.
Yeah.
I remember Nelly Furtado's,
sorry, Rush.
When Nelly Furtado's second album came out.
It was No Woe Nelly.
Yeah, and and, well, I think it was partly she had just had a kid, and it was like it was before that big before
would
Timbaland produced that big hit, you know.
On her career?
And I remember like I went to see, I had club courtesy. I worked at the Black Cat, and I went to 9:30 Club to see the show, and so they let me go in to see it. And like I went in, and like the manager of the Black Cat was like, "Really?" Nelly Furtado, and this was like early Nelly Furtado, and I was just like, because I had seen her on Canadian music videos, and I was like, yeah.
And Woe Nelly is a powerhouse album. I mean, back to back classic tracks. Yes, so good, so good.
No, but it is amazing. Like so much of people's comedy is shaped by like, you know, I think about like watching Strange Brew and Python and all these things, and it's like literally, I remember my brother and his cool friends. I would wake up on Saturday and watch whatever they had left in the VCR. That was like
I used to do that to very different results.
Yeah, I can only imagine. But like, how much of your comedy is just like you think that this movie is funny because that's all you have access to, you know?
Totes.
I don't know. It's a slow unraveling of. I mean, for me, I feel like most of your adulthood is getting over adolescence and the trauma you endured.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like, do you ever sit and think about like, okay, what do I actually think is funny versus like, what did all of my college friends think was funny?
Yeah.
See, I didn't come up, like, my dad was fresh off the boat Greek, and my mom was just so into being a mom that, like, my comedy tastes were very much formed, I guess, by what I was seeing on Comedy Central, but I was selective in terms of what I enjoyed on Comedy Central. So, like, one of my first, okay, you know my first comedy obsessions for me? Married with Children and The Simpsons.
I was not allowed to watch any.
I wasn't either. Like,
because because Bart was disrespectful to his parents, I was disallowed from watching.
What's so funny, I'm now just putting this together. When so I learned to be a people pleaser. I'm working with a second shrink on top of the first one now. And in our first session, she was like,
it's like Voltron situation where
pretty much,
five shrinks come together and
you
form
put five
a big
lions
metal
of
lion.
Co-payment together and I'm broke, yeah. So I learned really early on to avoid fighting in my house by like just doing my homework and shutting the fuck up. And I remember those were the only things that I would fight my dad. Like, that was the only battle I thought was worth fighting. He would turn off Al Bundy and walk out of the room, and I was like, fuck you, Pops. And would just flip it right back on.
Like, he's like, wait, but he said that very quietly so that his Greek father would not hear
yeah.
him.
Yeah. To be fair, he was Baba. We'd, fuck you, Baba. That was Greek for dad. Yeah.
I don't know how to say that in Yamisu. Greek. The only thing I know is...
Yamisu would be fuck you, so you go, Yamisu, Baba.
All I know is Kalimera.
Oh, Kalimera, Kalispera. Yeah. If you want to know my upbringing, literally all I can say in Greek is horrible things about other people. Like, I can just say, like, shut up, bad child, and things like that.
Well, we are coming towards the end of our show.
Yeah.
For a good reason. Yancey's got a shoot that he's got to get to.
Yeah,
and that's one thing I love about DC is, like, you know, Papa Giorgio's got his podcast and stand-up and making comedy videos and all sorts of stuff. Busy. She's got improv troupe. She's doing stand-up. Everyone's got all sorts of projects.
Brian's got his shorts.
I got my tiny, tiny shorts and my comedy videos I'm working on. And, like, everybody's hustling. You know what I mean? Everyone's got, like, a day job plus, and I love that.
That's the most positive framing of the situation.
It's not my show. But it is my house. So I want to thank everyone for joining us. Busy, let us know where we can follow you and all the things you're doing online.
Oh, when I do them, you're not going to find them online, but I would welcome followers at
So
Busy
if you
Fane.
Why don't you just give out your address so people can follow you IRL?
Yeah, well, oh man, that's another thing. I'm kind of homeless right now. Don't have a permanent address. See, this is... Welcome to my world.
See, we're all multitasking. We're all
multitasking.
Just, we're all working and entertaining.
Like, quick question, Brian. Does this couch turn into a bed for the next 2 weeks?
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, but look me up on Instagram at Busy Fane, BizzyFain.
Awesome. Yancey, where can we follow your hijinks?
All right. You can catch up with me on the tweets and the Instagrams at Sunny Florida Ave. That's at SUNNY. Florida, you could probably spell it, AVE. It would be Avenue, but Twitter won't let you have that many characters in your name. So, you know, it's Sunny Florida Ave. Exactly. But you can find me there and make a little movie about DC independent wrestling. And it'll be out at the end of June, so you should come check it out.
Nice.
Right now, the working title is Shine Heat Comeback Finish, because that's the arc of a wrestling match. I didn't know that until 2 weeks ago. I didn't know that. So, yeah, come check it out when it comes out.
Nice. I am Brian P. Duss. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BP Duss. If you want to only hear about politics related to Israel-Palestine, follow me on Twitter.
Yeah.
If you want to see lots of photos and videos about my cat, follow me on Instagram. John Papa Giorgio, where can we follow you?
At Papa's Basement on everything. Because my personal account, the podcast account, the website account, it's all one big...
Pinterest.
Yeah.
Friendster.
Like, you know how chickens just have that one hole that does it all? The poo, the pee, the sex, that all goes in and out of that
I did not know
hole.
That, but it makes sense. They're chickens.
Called the Kua Kayla or some junk like that. That's my at Papa's Basement handle. Just everything.
Chickens
pictures of my
hole.
Cat podcast promotion. Chicken
wow.
hole.
Chicken
I
hole.
I wish you could see my face right now.
You didn't know Burr's just had one unified... thing.
I usually only eat chicken in nugget form, so I don't really know much about them.
If your nugget has a dot in the middle, you know what that nugget is now. Just a little depression.
On that note, boys and girls, time to wrap it up. Thanks for joining us for, what is this, 13 years now of Papa's Basement?
Yeah, 12 or 13. This might be episode 600, so you can tell it's a big celebration.
Wow.
I think it's 597. But
oh, coming close.
We're getting close. Yeah.
I want to be invited back for 600.
Episode, okay. Yeah, I want 600 to literally have like 600 people at the same time.
That would be
a free-for-all.
In celebration of my 599 former co-hosts, yeah. All righty.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Bye, everybody.
Who's going to edit this?
Who's going to edit this? Okay, let's see. So if who's going to edit this? If you sound stupid on this episode, then I have edited it. If Brian sounds stupid... then John Papa Giorgio found someone else to edit it for him because he doesn't like to edit.
Hi, this is Robert. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. All I have to say is this. Where do you get off calling this garbage comedy? I don't even want to listen to your show anymore. It's just utter garbage. I would rather listen to an hour of Foghorns. This show is just terrible, and you shouldn't even be allowed to use the word comedy to describe what this podcast is. Good day. I do like Brian, though. He's funny.